Wow. That was an extremely rich panel presentation. We will start our second round of responses too. And I cannot pretend in 5 minutes to either address what everybody said or even synthesize or summarize, because
it was diverse.
It was very diverse, and you took us in different directions. But I think you definitely all answered the question of what should we worry about. Bryn and I raised more concrete concerns, whereas you raised very vast methodological and maybe what is our role type of concerns. So I'd like to use my 3 minutes, to share with you some thoughts that were provoked by you two, by Matthew and Beatrice, regarding what it is to be a bioethicist in today's research environment and training environment. Because when Matthew was speaking, I was feeling like you were killing me softly with your song. I'm definitely one of those people trained as a philosopher who ends up doing social science research and constantly doubting my own capacity to do the research that I'm doing. And I think it's a challenge facing a lot of people in applied ethics who are trained in one area and end up having a career which is a little bit à côté. My PhD is in philosophy. My postdoc was done in a research hospital at the NIH, and since then all my positions were in faculties of medicine. So when people ask me, are you a philosopher or a bioethicist, I feel forced to say bioethicist. I haven't taught a class in philosophy in over a decade, but I am a philosopher. About a third of my graduate students do their research projects using social science methodologies. I'm supposed to supervise them. Mm-hmm. And then an added aspect of what we have all said is the research funding environment. I've worked with two health research funding agencies trying to come up with policies that would integrate ethics and bioethics and ELSI into the funding of health research and genetic research. It's a huge challenge everywhere around the world. But what you find when you become a professional researcher is that funding is always a challenge. And if I am expected by my institution to bring in big research grants, I can't tell a funding agency that they have to give me $500,000 because I want to sit quietly in my office and think, which is really what I want to do. I have to propose a research project that employs social science methods. I totally agree with Beatrice's plea for donner for data and for actually asking people what it is that they want. The philosopher in me always has a resistance because as an ethicist, you're trained to think that it really doesn't matter what people want. What matters is what they should want. And you will tell them what they should want based on your conceptual research. So I think a lot of bioethicists are trapped between these two ways of thinking, the normative and the empirical. There's a lot of writing about that dilemma already. But I just thought I'd throw in my very personal take as someone who's living right at the heart of this tension, trained as a philosophical ethicist, working in a funding environment and a training environment that really forces me, leaves me no choice but to do social science research with methodologies that I have not had proper training in. Sometimes I remember sending Beatrice an email going, help me out, where do I find the best book on a certain methodology? And then I have to sit down and read books that I should have read during my BA in sociology, which I never did. So we're really trapped in this vortex of interdisciplinarity where we're trained in one way, so we have the profound background in one discipline. We end up doing research in another. But deeper than that, we have a certain conceptual framework that we then have to modify. So my conceptual framework being a philosophical and normative, I have to remind myself sometimes why the empirical turn in bioethics is absolutely necessary, and why when implementing a new technology, I should not only sit in my office with my books and ask myself what would be the ideal world, but rather go out into that world and ask 5,000 patients what it is that they want. Mm-hmm. So I think we're caught in that special space of interdisciplinarity and very unclear methodologies and very unclear justifications for what we do. uncertainty about what counts as rigorous research. We're caught in that vortex for training reasons, for funding reasons, for promotion reasons, for all the usual institutional reasons that surround researchers. And the bottom line is that we want to do well, and we want to help people, and we want to promote on an individual level and on a public health level a system that does its best for patients and for providers. And we're struggling. We're struggling about the best ways for doing that, and this will remain a challenge. But thank you for everything that you've put forward, because you've really provided many rich examples of the challenges that we're facing. So this was very therapeutic for me, I have to say.
Even I killed you softly with my song, but it was therapeutic. That's good.
Both. So I'll give each of my panelists their 5 minutes, and then we'll open it up.